is Sportsfeld. It is Sportsfeld. Like I said, it is Sportsfeld. No, it is Sportsfeld. It is it, Sportsfeld.
It is Sportsfeld.
It most certainly is Sportsfeld. Jake, the NHL trade deadline came and went. Can you believe that?
It sure happened.
We have lots of thoughts.
I have to say, I do think it's funny that this is the probably biggest and most impactful deadline the Leafs have had in question mark years. And I'm just like, yeah, good.
Maybe Nick Foligno is the piece, Jake.
Maybe. It's like, I don't know if it's the COVID like season thing or just being 32 and not that into hockey, but like, and I'm sure this will change once the playoffs start. But for the Leafs being in first place in their division post-trade deadline, I'm sure ambivalent.
After earlier this year saying that I thought the North Division was a cool idea, I'm so sick of seeing them play the same five teams or whatever it is, six teams. I'm just like, I could care. I can't watch them play the Canadiens and the Flames and the Oilers and the Senators and the Canucks anymore.
The only Jets. Way... The way that it's good is that if, and again, big if, the Leafs were to win this year, being able to say they did it by just beating up on the other Canadian teams will be very fun.
It's a fun story. So Nick Foligno and Big Save Dave.
Hen Button.
Hen Button. Who I don't know anything about. No, he's one of those guys that
couldn't tell you.
He's one of those guys that I worked in sports media throughout his entire career, where he played for a Canadian team, I want to say.
Maybe.
And he was never anything but a name, like, on the website. You know what I mean? Like, I never had any... So I don't know anything about him. I know he's... You have to talk about every Canadian player at some point.
He was referred to me by someone who follows hockey much closer than I do as a guy you'll never notice. And that's a good thing.
And I want to say there is another guy.
Yeah. there was. No, there was.
There was a defensive center where it was like, this from guy, hockey will not happen. He'll not happen while he's on the ice.
From the Sharks, I want to say.
Yeah.
They got Riley Nash on long-term IR. They got Foligno and Stefan Nilsson.
Okay.
They got Big Save Dave. They got Hen Button, and they got Antti Suomela.
I must be thinking of Riley Nash.
Maybe. Antti Suomela was traded for Barbanov to San Jose, so I was right on the team. I don't know anything about him.
Never heard of that.
No.
Riley Nash. I think Riley Nash is the guy I'm thinking of. We're just like, the book on him was like, nobody gets to shoot when he's on the ice on either team.
Yeah. Who knows if he'll even play.
I have no idea. They've done a good job. Now they've collected, and Foligno is, we talked about this earlier this year, with the Simmons / Thornton, Spezza even, and now Foligno, they sort of have a type of guy where they're just like, all right, veteran guy who has been a captain and is a leader. We're going to collect anybody that isn't one of our young offensive stars is going to be that.
And I mean, certainly, not that I'm one to like know this for sure, but with Spezza and Thornton and Simmons, that's been a successful plan so far.
Yeah, it has its ups and downs. And I think you obviously want to be cycling them in and out so that they're not being overused.
Yeah, that's also very true.
Dubas did it again. We can say it.
Yeah, he knows. Look, he's just better and smarter than everyone else and better than all the other Canadian GMs.
I mean, that's not a better. Super. That's not. I don't know anything about any of the other Canadian GMs, but that doesn't sound like a super big. I'll say this: no one's ever effusively praising any of the other Canadian team GMs.
Yes, that's very true. Seemingly, it's the opposite. They seem to get made fun of a lot.
Yeah, I only know them because of that sort of like third degree fandom. But they are always saying Benning, and they're always saying, I don't know, Bergevin, I want to say. And they're always saying, Winnipeg guy. They're always making fun of them.
Yeah, well, because they don't have the skill or the relevance to be involved with the Toronto hockey team.
Jake, you said it perfect. And I don't even know who the guy in the Senators guy is. Doyle still?
Isn't just Melnick who does everything? I have no idea.
I assume so. He's like the Mr. Burns sort of thing.
That's what I figure.
I don't really know.
I have no idea.
Maybe it'll work.
I think the thing that we're learning as we get older is we try to sort of fill in that niche little bit of covering hockey for real, I feel like, for a minute. But I think as we get older, we're just realizing we're just not those guys.
Well, I'm willing to, as I've proven time and time again, I'm willing to follow it at a professional level if somebody wants me to.
Yeah, well, yeah, sure. I've done that.
But left to my own devices. It's not going to occur naturally.
I will say I'm very excited to watch playoff hockey as the Leafs are good.
Sure.
But until that happens, and I don't even know when that starts. The season could go for another 3 months for all I know. It's fine.
Yeah, I tell you this. Baseball has started and I sort of stopped paying attention.
Yeah.
Anything else physically in the world. And I coming back to it after a little bit, it turns out that we're never going to see Frederik Andersen again or something.
I guess, yeah. Jack Campbell is apparently the greatest goalie to ever play for the Maple Leafs. So
there you go. Again, not the highest. I mean, there's.
I did like his story is good though. I do like. He seems like a fun guy.
Everyone says he's super nice, which is all I can ever ask for.
Yeah.
Boy, we're deep into the hockey, eh? We really got it going.
Look, I think you said it best. It's baseball season. Until things are like forced into my purview, like playoffs or.
Sure.
And like the way the Raptors season is going, it's just not as fun to focus on.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know about you, but like when I was younger, when it came to sports, I felt like I had to focus on everything at all times or else I would be accused of being a bad fan or a fake fan or something.
Absolutely.
And now the Raptors season is no fun. I don't want to follow it that closely.
What about?
I enjoy Gary Trent. Gary Trent's awesome. I loved his buzzer beater the other night, and I'll watch it. It's not that I'm not watching it at all, but if there's a Blue Jays game and a Raptors game on at the same time, the Raptors just aren't getting my eyeballs right now.
Future all-time Raptors great Gary Trent Jr.
I do want to get into the whole like, oh, Masai and Bobby did it again. I want to believe with him that they just like fleeced the Trailblazers, and he's going to be like an all-time great.
And now we get to do the we're finally seeing Flynn as a and they're going to run it. And Kyle's going to come back because they had the bird rights that nobody else traded for.
And they're just going to trade for Bradley Beal.
And Ken Burch is good. Ken Burch is all they ever needed. I don't know. I'm piecing it together from Twitter.
Yeah, I think you're right. It feels a little weird to not be like so in the depths of a Raptors season. I will admit.
It's comfortable. I feel like I called this, not that I called they would be bad, but I called that if the Raptors were bad, it wouldn't be that big a deal.
And yeah. Well, it's hard to, I don't know. I personally have a hard time being upset about it 2 years removed from a title and the fact that every basketball season since they won the title has been fake.
And listen, I think something that maybe doesn't get talked about enough. It's like they're having like the craziest season any team's ever had.
Right.
Like no other team's been asked to do what they're doing. I guess maybe the
not only are there
Hornets,
no
maybe.
Not only are there no fans, but they're in a different city.
They can't go back to the home city, right?
Yeah. Like right.
It's really strange. I don't and you know, the amount of time they had to prepare and how miserable it must be to go through that and also then go through getting COVID and having serious side effects and then falling out of, competition shape in the middle of the season and having that coincide with a big losing streak and just like, as they said many times, just like didn't feel physically that they were able to do the things that they know they can do. It's got to be crazy frustrating and just the hardest year that I think underratedly, like extremely challenging year for this team.
I think so. And I think it's, I feel like that's part of why I can't get worked up about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like partially everything you said is completely true. It's a completely unfair, ridiculous season. And also like they won the title 2 years ago.
Right.
I don't know. It's, I get why so much of Raptors Twitter is like not happy, or, and there's like the tank fighting and all that. But like, I don't know. I just can't get that upset about it, especially knowing that, or hoping, I guess, that next year, if they're back in playing in Toronto with fans, it's a complete, the exact same roster construction could have a completely different year.
Gary Trent and, again, Ken Birch, which by the was also like the not the first, because I know Corey Joseph came back, but like he was the probably the loudest so far, like dream come true to play for the Raptors. Like you see so many different times in sports where a guy's like, I want to go home, play close to home, and it's the first time that someone was like, I want to do that because it's the Raptors. Like that's to me, that was a cool little sign. It could be a sign of things to come of like,
yeah,
really high end players who are like, my dream is to play for the Raptors.
The Lou Dort, Shai Alexander connection.
Exactly right. Jake, you did mention that it is baseball season after all, after above all that. And obviously we have tons to say because I can't not talk about the Blue Jays. But
I feel like that's what, like, it's, we'll get into it. And before we have other things to do first, but just, we've said this so many times. There's when your baseball team, our baseball team, the Toronto Blue Jays are interesting and competitive, there's really nothing else I want to talk about. Everything else might as well, everything else sports wise might as well not exist to me.
this is why, you know, you hear it from people. People are like, people get into soccer and they get into F1 now, a big thing people are getting into. I personally, I just need baseball, and I am emotionally and sport wise just, I'm just fulfilled. You know what I mean? I'm just like, yeah, I don't need it anymore.
I mean, if you can't feel anxious about the 12th game of 162 game season at 4 o'clock on a Wednesday afternoon, I don't know what to tell you.
Yes. And with baseball season, Jake comes drinking beer at baseball games eventually.
Of course.
There's no better beer and there's no better baseball and beer tie-in to me, in my mind, for my opinion. Then Left Field Brewery. We are so pleased. Left Field Brewery is the brewery of the month for Sportsville for the month of April, for the opening month of the baseball season. And we are drinking, you know, we talked about this a little bit last week. We almost did an ad for Greenwood last week by accident. But to me, the cleanup hitter of the lineup in the Left Field Brewery selection, the like, let's get, the, everything is building to when you crack open your first Greenwood of the evening, in my opinion.
Greenwood is, we've said this before, Greenwood's the beer you drink after you get your first two, like, you know, be a little adventurous. Mm-hmm. Greenwood's what you tuck in to be like, well, I'm going to get drunk tonight.
Yeah, here we go. Time for the Greenwood. Greenwood, a 6.3% ABV, a vibrant, juicy nod to the hazy beers of the Green Mountain State with a tribute to our own neighborhood. It is generous hop additions of Citra, Simcoe, Centennial, and Palisade. Contribute a ripe peach, orange, and pineapple flavor. It ends with a refreshingly full body and a lasting finish. What I love about Left Field, along with the incredible beers, is they have ballpark pairings. Your ballpark pairings for Greenwood, spicy Italian sausage and pepperoni pizza. I mean, come on.
I will say, the Left Field Greenwood and the Shumai from Blood Brothers are my two, like, go-to beers, I've decided. I'm a guy who, like, I don't, if I'm not at a cottage, like, on a deck or something, like, the 6 to 7% IPAs have become my, like, crispies, so to speak. I like, and there are, I cannot think of a better one than the Greenwood.
Yeah, they're incredible. Available at the LCBO, at the beer store, at some grocery stores. And most importantly, our home delivery. Go on to the Left Field Brewery website, leftfieldbrewery.ca. Orders over $45 are free. There's a little, they have a listing all over Ontario, basically. They list on the website all the places you can go. It's same day, basically, in the GTA, in this little extended zone. You can come out here in the region. They do that. I think Thursdays is the region delivery day. Use promo code Sportsfeld when you order online. Let them know we sent you, because we talk about these beers and drink these beers all the time.
I ordered a big order from them last week, and I had a great time.
Mm-hmm. I've been replenishing mine as keep doing a good job keeping the show beers, keeping them.
Yeah,
but well, like, that's wanting to drink beer so badly, seeing them, I just like am buying other left field beers.
The that new West Coast IPA that they put out, the West Coast Swing, is pretty good.
I can't stop with the Glorioso. My goodness. Glorioso is like the 5:15 p.m. in a beer, where you're just like, I'm going to have a beer as soon as I finish work today. And you're just like, oh, thank God.
I always like to, because as I said, I like to drink the 6-7s as my like regular ones. Always need to have a good like 5.5 to coast on. And the Glorioso is perfect.
In Croyabla, peach, juicy orange, full bodied. As I said, available at the brewery, the LCBO, the beer store, the grocery store, or home delivery, leftfieldbrewery.ca, promo code Sportsfeld. Let them know it was Jake and Zoobs who decided to tell you to drink left field beers. Oh, baby. So, Jake, we are going to talk Blue Jays here in a minute. What are the pressing topics on your mind that we'll tee them up and then we'll tackle them after the break? What are the big standouts for you after, what is it, 12 games?
12 games. Injuries is obviously number one, because it's getting kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
Injuries, I think we need to have the Biggio conversation again.
Mm. It's fair. I'll tell you this. It's Drew Ferris Service's fault.
It is. It's absolutely. It's the opposite of us manifesting trades.
Yeah, 100%.
But on the flip side, I just have to, for no reason at all, say the words Matt Chapman again.
Mm-hmm.
What else do we want to talk about this week? What else has been, I guess, the utter and pure dominance of Vladimir Guerrero Jr.?
It continues. Because it's real. It's real.
It's real now. Yeah. I would like to talk about Bo Bichette a little bit.
Sure.
And I guess those are all my talking points. What about you?
I mean, injuries is going to be the big one for me as well. It's just sort of like, boy, we got into Josh Palacios plays every day pretty quick, didn't we?
It didn't take
too long.
I actually kind of love that because I like him a lot.
I knew you would be in on Palacios.
He's jacked up.
Kicking Jonathan Davis 20, curve so quick.
He's jacked up 24 hours a day, and I respect it.
Anyway, we're going to dig into all those Blue Jays topics because, I mean, geez, it's front of mind. What else can we say? In just one second. The Blue Jays are back at 500. We should note before we sound like we are too far in either direction. The Blue Jays are 500. They have played well against the New York Yankees, which is important to me. And then everything else has been up and down. They were sort of crappy against Texas, which will happen. They were sort of leaky in 2 of 3 against the Angels, but they have played hard against the Yankees, which to me as a Jabroni fan matters because I care about that kind of thing. I don't care. Lots up and down. Five runs today, which is Wednesday, 7 runs on Tuesday, a low scoring one on Monday. But lots and lots of directions to go. You started off our preview by saying you wanted to have the Cavan Biggio conversation. So maybe we should have the Cavan Biggio conversation to start.
Yeah, I don't think I'm as Biggio-pilled as perhaps you and Drew and Jonah are.
I'm trying very hard to continue to say out loud that I believe in, you know, that one small thing can unlock him as a very good player.
I keep coming back to what you said last week, which is that if he were not the everyday third baseman, it would be a very different conversation.
I think that's true.
I think if you look at sort of, if you want to look at the, I guess, the three main young guys, I'm not including Teoscar and Lourdes in here for the moment, but just Vlad, Bo, and Cavan. They're all, in one way or the other, another, projects. They all have sort of a trajectory and a plan, I think, that's all different for all three of them. Vlad, we've seen evolve from the guy we thought was going to stick at third to maybe a pretty damn good first baseman. Bo is still a big question mark in the field, but has also only played 86 games in the major leagues, which is what I want to talk about in a bit with him. And I feel like the Cavan project is going to end with him as more of a super utility guy. But I also think that's valuable and that's not a bad thing. However, at the current moment in time as the everyday third baseman, all of those flaws that perhaps could be overlooked if he was playing a super utility role are much, much more glaring.
Yeah, it comes down to what you want Kevin Biggio to be, right? It's sort of the way I sort of look at it is like, you know, when you envision, and you can take his performance out of this, when you envision the Blue Jays as a contender, you should, I try to keep myself reminded, like, when I think of the Jays as a contender, what number of best player on the team is Kevin Biggio?
Yeah, I think that's I think that's a very smart way to look at it.
And it's probably pretty low.
It's like seventh, yes. If we're being honest.
And he should be commended for even being in the Vlad Bo Biggio, that being a triple thing instead of just two guys is a testament to how much he grew as a prospect. But also, like, you sort of want him to get surpassed in this conversation.
Right.
That the whole point is that he, you know, worked really hard to get himself into being a major league player. And I think he is a major league guy. And as we said before, you know, sort of moving around and not having to play every day, the eye and the ability to like ambush pitches and really go all out and swing with power as a left-handed bat, that's actually pretty useful. Anyway, to your having to say Matt Chapman out loud, I'm just going to bring to light the true statement that the Blue Jays are going to trade for Chris Bryant later on this year. So
interesting.
Doesn't really matter, right? Doesn't really matter that.
That's the move, you think, over Matt Chapman?
They're going to get him. They're going to get Chris Bryant for like nothing, Jake.
For a song. Yeah.
You're going to be like, oh my God, that's all they paid for Chris Bryant. That's sort of what's about to happen.
I mean, I'm fine. I'm not going to sit here and say that wouldn't be fine with me. But to your point about what order you want Cavan to be in, I think that, I mean, if you just look at it at lineup construction, as we love to do, if you're putting him as the seventh best guy, if the Jays are a contender, that means that obviously Springer, Vlad, Bo, and Teoscar are above. That means you need Lourdes to sort of take that bit of a step, which, sure. And then I guess, who's your six, I guess, is the question. I guess Marcus Semien's your six.
Sure. Chris Bryant, probably.
Chris Bryant. But then if it is Chris Bryant, all of a sudden Cavan's like your eighth guy. Like, again,
right.
Not that it can be a one-to-one thing, but in the bat flip game, the 8 and 9 slots for the Blue Jays were Kevin Pillar and Ryan Goins.
Right. And you're going to need, and hopefully he's able to learn the outfield to a good degree if he moves over there. Like, you're going to need that depth in guys who can play the outfield if you're looking, you know, for defensive realignments, because Lourdes and Teoscar, it's not really what you need. You want, when the game's on the line in your corners, it's not an elite sort of option. So, yeah, no, I think, you know, that there is tons of value there, and he continues to manage to get on base to draw more walks than he probably should for a guy who's looked as troubled as he has at the plate. It's just sort of like,
and again, if it's your, you know, your seventh, eighth guy in the lineup, I don't know if he's getting on base, like, what else do you need? I don't know if, especially if you go and add a Chris Bryant or Matt or whoever, anyone that you think elevates that position, you don't need Kevin Biggio to be OPSing 900.
Right. It comes down to, and I spoke a little bit about this with Fair Service on the Spin Rate podcast, is it sort of comes down to as well is Lourdes Gurriel is sort of an interest. It was the opposite comp he used for this. And I think Bo Bichette may fall into this a little bit as well, where in the recent past of baseball, we sort of maybe went too far in honoring the sort of hollow OBP guys, you know, a guy like a Biggio who was able to get on base a ton just from not really hitting, where, you know, you cast your doubts and aspersions on somebody like Lourdes, who it's really all bat to ball, and it's all just like hitting terrible pitches. And when he looks good, when he's heating up, you're like, man, this guy just knows how to hit. And when he looks really bad, it's like he has no idea what he's doing in the box, which is where he sort of is right now. I think Biggio is sort of the opposite of that, where you're getting to that point where the guys who draw a ton of walks and get on base a lot, you do eventually need them to hit as well. So you need that proof that like the guy's going to be able to really, really swing it. And I still think he's got the chance to an opportunity to grow and clean up some things. But in terms of a usable tool, a lefty bat that can get on base and hit home runs is something that you'd love to have kicking around. So I think he's got use, and I think he has a place in the team. I think number two hitter and like leading the team in WAR, which I think he did in 2019 or 2020. It's not exactly the role that a contender version of this team, Kevin Biggio, plays.
Yeah, and I think that's also fine.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it's... Again, I think it's his role that is making the problem bigger than it maybe needs to be.
Mm.
And again, that's fine. The Chris Colabellos, so to speak, are... Or the, you know, just the sort of additional guy to your guys are valuable pieces. And you need those guys to get over the hump of being good to great.
I think Ezekiel Carrera is a nice comp where it's like...
Yeah, exactly.
He had the really hollow OBP and you're like, oh, I don't know. But then you suddenly need that. You need that guy that can fill that role. Totally.
And especially if... You know, Danny Jansen's looking a little better at the plate. Kirk finally stepped up and smoked one today. You know, Palacios or whoever's in that nine slot, probably eventually Grichuk, maybe. I think this lineup has enough talent that you can, when Biggio's your 8-9 hitter, all of a sudden you're laughing.
I tell you what, I wouldn't mind, you know, like seeing George Springer play a game or two.
Every George Springer update, it's like a needle to the heart.
Something's going on because it's like
they've shown clips of him taking BP today. It's like, all right, well then just play.
Nate Pearson's 100%, but he can't. Like we obviously, if he wanted to, he would pitch, which he does, and we want him to, but he's not. He's not.
Yeah.
It's like what's going on? a bleak for Springer, and I think Chatwood is down, and Merriweather is down, and Hatch.
Lord, Teoscar has COVID.
Teoscar has COVID-19, which is a airborne virus.
buy some mask filters is what I would recommend. That's what I did this week.
I hope. Tough. And then, you know, Tanner Roark, that pretty quick little jaunt through the rotation. And
I do want to note on the Roark thing. You mentioned last week when we were sort of begrudging his start, as it were, that the decision had to be made on him quickly to prove the Jays are serious about contending, very similarly to the Reese McGuire or Derek Fisher moves. And I commend the Jays on immediately being like, well, he's in the bullpen now.
Yes.
Obviously, injuries are going to mess that up a little bit. But hopefully we get an Anthony K start.
What's up? Is Anthony K all right? What's going on here?
Well, they said, Montoya said today that, there you go, they're undecided about, because Zoik had to move up to pitch today, they're undecided about who covers his start against the Royals. And the options are Roark, a bullpen game, or the aforementioned Anthony Kay. So I guess he's just at the alternate site, and they don't want to bring him up yet for some reason, which I don't totally get.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. Maybe he's probably fine. It's interesting to me that he's behind Zoik, who, listen, what a gamer, our guy, coming up and saying, I'll pitch on short notice. Look, or whatever it was. I have no idea.
As quite possibly literally the world's biggest TJ Zoik supporter, who is not related to him, I think he's done all right.
He's survived. Yeah.
Like he's not going to, I don't think anyone, including me, expect him to come up and like be lights out or anything, but you know, he's faced the Yankees twice and been okay.
It was a lot of the, it was a lot of the play.
Got hit hard today. A lot of hard contact.
Yeah. There's a lot of over the plate today, but that'll happen when you're, you know, rushing to
duty. But again, he survived.
They're really patching this together. Like really something. Like it's Ryu, and then they don't know for 4 days, right? Basically.
Well, to your point,
told you Robbie Ray was going to be good.
Robbie Ray, who's actually good, is actually good.
Yeah.
Mats has looked in his one start has looked great. So maybe there's three guys there.
We're really doing it. We're really like you and I are really doing it for this rotation, right? Like
right
between. Ray and Mats and Zoik, like that's 60% of the rotation. And then obviously Ryu insists upon himself. We're really only asking everybody else to fill one rotation slot. That's not so hard.
Which is supposed to be Nate Pearson, but as you said.
Who is 100%.
Who is 100%. but I will say, again, to unfortunately, I don't mean to keep tying it to 2015, but it's just such an easy comparison point.
Mm-hmm.
That team got so lucky with injuries, or lack thereof.
Crazily
I
lucky.
Should say. Like, I would say that this year's team has been maybe unnaturally unlucky when it comes to injuries, because, boy, there's been a lot. But I know this isn't really how it works, but I would rather them happen now than in August.
Sure. Sure.
And, like, who knows what the status of any... Clearly, we don't even know what the status of Nate Pearson is. Or George Springer.
Right.
But, you know, if they get sort of a lot of those out of the way now, which, again, I know it's not a one-to-one. That's not how it works. But if we're going to use the baseball cliche of when you want to get injured kind of thing, better now than later.
Yes.
But it is really exposing some of that pitching depth, for sure.
It's crazy. Again, they're sort of... stitching it together one day at a time. You mentioned you wanted to talk about Bo Bichette, and I am curious as to what you mean by that.
Couple things. We've already had the is Bo gonna stick it short discussion, so I don't think we need to replay that, because we all, I think, are landing on a similar answer, which is that no. But a thing that our friend Will mentioned on Twitter today, and I had to look up for myself because... it just didn't seem right at first glance, but then you think about it and it's statistically true. And also just like you think about it and it's like, oh yeah, Bo Bichette has only played 86 major league games.
Wild, isn't it?
That's crazy. It's been over three seasons, so it feels like it's much more, but like you forget how much time he missed last year in that truncated season. And he wasn't called up till late in his first season. So, while I understand a lot of the criticisms of Bo in the field, and I have and will continue to make them myself, this is his first full major league season. And I also understand the argument of like, well, how can you say that when you're saying the Jays need to make the win now, compete now moves and what gives them the best team every day if they want to contend? And I think that's fair. But I also think I'm granting him a little more leeway than maybe some of the other guys, considering he's only played 86 games. And also considering he's played 86 games, he's pretty far along.
Yeah. Listen, he's only played 86 games. He's also only 23 still, right? He's still ahead of schedule on making the major leagues in the first place. And I think it would be missing the forest for the trees to be anything but like head over heels in love with Bo Bichette's production.
Like, right.
I understand that the arm is probably the big concern, the throws from short. But again, most of the time, right, a guy in Bo Bichette's position is in AAA right now, working out, is he a major league shortstop versus like coming up here and smashing the ball, right? You talk about his first 162, his average out, if you prorated his performance to 162 games, it's 34 home runs, like a 138 OPS plus, like really like 17 steals, like an unreal guy to have on your roster at 23 years old. And, you know, seems to relish big moments, seems to enjoy being thought of as one of the best players, and takes that seriously. And I think I understand the win now urgency in the air, and I understand the best team every single day is can be a priority. But boy, for me, it's like you need to appreciate how rare Bo happening in the first place is. Where, and I tried to use Marcus Semien as sort of an example of a guy who had a similar trajectory, where it was like he had all the athleticism and the range to play shortstop, and then it was the arm that never quite came around, and then he put everything together. He finally got everything put together where he had grown enough as a shortstop and was really moving along as a hitter that he was an MVP candidate, right? The famous 2019 where he was third in MVP voting. So he sort of managed to put it together where Bo already has that slash line. Like that's basically, if you look at Semien's MVP runner-up season, it's Bo's 162 slash line. Like it's 33, 92, a 140 OPS plus. So like he has the bat. If he gets the arm, he's there. So I think a little bit of patience and a little bit of like it also helps he hit two home runs today, including a walk off.
Right. but I mean, like, I think the difference in the Bo discussion and the Cavan discussion, other than like genuinely different expectations, which I think is completely fair and correct to have different expectations, is Bo doing what he does with the glaring question marks in the field is still sort of Bo hitting second is still part of like the best team every day kind of thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I find the discourse around him really interesting from all the things you just said. And I feel like he's just going to be a guy who, because he's only got those 86 games this year, he's going to equal parts frustrate you and also excite you like probably no one on the team except for Vlad.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. No, I think you said it perfect in sort of in the best case version scenario of the team. Like at worst, he's probably the third best hitter at worst. If you want to, or fourth, maybe if you're like really high on Teoscar as an important piece, it's like it's him, Vlad, and Springer, in some order, with sort of I think Teoscar in terms of importance right behind them.
Yeah.
Who I hope is okay.
Yeah. Jeez. It sounds like from reports, it sounds like they expect him to. It sounds like he has mild symptoms, is what I heard. But
there you go.
Who knows? At least the team seems to be somewhat getting vaccinated. Like Lourdes was held out because of vaccine-related nausea or whatever. But yeah, I hope he's okay. It's fucking like it's. I'm not going to get into the "this shouldn't be happening" conversation because we could have that for literally everything we're talking about here. But it's pretty wild.
It's pretty wild.
It's all nuts and wild.
It's pretty funny to like sort of compare it to a year ago when we're like, what would have to happen for this and that? And it's like nothing. Literally nothing could happen. Efforts are proven. Literally, there's literally no bound.
It's all theater. Yeah. All the precautions. The thing that's been made clear to me is all the precautions by all the leagues is just theater.
Absolutely right. Absolutely.
You're wearing a mask on a bench beside a guy that you're in a dressing room with.
Absolutely right.
Absolute theater.
Anyway, with that in mind, we will embrace our theater roots and do some improv and answer mailbag questions. How about that?
Yes. There you go.
Yes, and we will also decide what your song match and TV shows of the week are after this. We return. It is time to recommend a little culture, our cultural stew, thicken it with our musings. Jake, as a certified music knower abouter, in the now home-stretched Columbia House Party, as you prepare for the farewell tour, what is your song of the week?
Song of the week this week. I believe I have done the other two songs on this EP as songs of the weeks. previous. So I'm going to do the third one today because unfortunately I keep being given reason to by the fact that the police should be abolished. So today I'm going with the final track on Namdi's Black Plight EP, which came out last summer. And that song is called Heartless. It is like the other two songs in the EP about the Black Lives Matter movement and police murdering black people over and over and over again. Wasn't sure how to fit that sort of discussion into the show today.
Of course.
So I thought I would just put it here and say the Black Plight EP by Namdi is great and powerful and moving and fuck the police and abolish them and fuck them.
Yes, abolish the police. Yeah, sort of incredible. The pain and the repetition and the timing, truly unbelievable. And well, not truly, not unbelievable. That's not the right word.
Completely believable.
Yeah, disheartening. Truly disheartening. Something that continues to be interwoven into everything and sort of such a big part of like the bigger picture as to what all the big picture problems that we continue to run into in society, sort of interwoven through the same trends. It's extremely disheartening that it continues to be a thing.
I think it's just proving that, you know, throughout history, I think small change has been sort of what's all that can be expected and has been effective in certain respects. But I think we're reaching the point in, you know, I don't want to make it sound like this has only been an issue in the last, you know, 5 years or whatever, because that's not what I mean. But I think if the last 5 years have taught us anything, it's that it's time for some to start thinking bigger and dreaming bigger, and incremental change and reforms and all those things are not the solutions.
Mm.
They're just band-aids. And we have to change things about our health systems, things about the way our governments operate, things about our policing systems, and they need to be fundamental, massive change.
Well said. Match of the week. This week, Jake, one of the perks that I occasionally get to appreciate as a wrestling aficionado and appreciator, and I've mentioned this before, is we get, as wrestling fans, early access to the most famous people in the world. We get to see them before they're the most famous people in the world. We got it with The Rock, of course. Hulk Hogan is your original example, but he's a piece of shit, so fuck him. but we got it with The Rock, who went on to become super duper sized, bigger than life, right? We got it with John Cena, who now is like after the new Fast 9, I believe it is, trailer went out today. Everyone's like, wow, Cena looks amazing in this. We get that luxury. I'll tell you this, Jake, my bold prediction for the next 10 years. Are you ready for this?
I am.
Sasha Banks is going to be one of those people.
You know, the reason I'm going to agree with you, and the reason I'm going to agree with you is because I do not watch wrestling. I do not follow wrestling, but I do know who Sasha Banks is.
Yes. We are her. She was in The Mandalorian for a hiccup. And to me, that is her, The Rock, in the Mummy Returns, Scorpion King sort of thing.
Right. We'll look back and be like, oh, of course.
It's going to be one of those things where 5-10 years from now, people say things like, hey, did you know she used to be in wrestling?
right.
She's going to be a super duper star. She was on night one of WrestleMania this year. In the main event, it was two black women, which was a historic thing. Right, main event of WrestleMania, and didn't win. Like, she didn't win, and she didn't have a crowning moment. But it is very apparent to me that she is on the trajectory of to be one of the biggest, most famous people in the world.
Is it one of those? Because again, I don't watch, so I only know her sort of tangentially, I suppose. But is it one of those The Rock Cena things where like the charisma is just so like undeniable that you're like, of course, it's going to be the most famous person in the world?
Yeah, it is. It's just sort of she has a presence where you're just like, you're just like, yeah, that's a star. It's just like there's no real doubt about it. I think the sky is the limit. And that's my bold proclamation for the 2020s. Sasha Banks is a household name. Maybe I don't know if she'll be go by Sasha Banks, or it'll be a, because John Cena's real name is John Cena, right? Where The Rock has sort of managed to become Dwayne Johnson when he needs to be. I don't know if she'll be back to Mercedes in her spare time, but yes, it's happening. Boy, oh boy, I think I'm dry on what are we watching. Once again, I'm watching professional baseball at the highest level.
Yeah. Would we? Oh, you know what? We rewatched. In these tough times, when it's just, I think as I'm getting older, and especially over the last little bit, especially over the last year, I think I was always a person who was sort of very dismissive of what I'll call trash TV.
Sure.
And I think to a large extent, I still am. Like, there's not a lot of reality TV I watch. But one show that I would call trash TV that I very much enjoyed in the last year was a show on Netflix called The Circle.
Oh, yeah.
And we rewatched it, season one, last week. Still it's dumb as all hell. Still very enjoyable. But I literally just remembered that season two comes out today.
Oh, wow.
And I am now excited to finish this and watch The Circle.
Big shoes to fill. Yeah, it was a
big. I definitely. So we were talking about this when we were rewatching it last week. And like, I think the show last year ended up not being what they expected.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think they expect. You've seen it, yeah?
Absolutely. You took me off to The Circle. We were fanatics.
I thought so. So you know how it turned into just like a show about like people being friends?
Yes.
I think that's not what they intended.
I have to assume that now that people know how the game works.
Yeah.
Because strategically, nobody did that right, really.
There's no way they're going to allow two seasons in a row of a show like that to be friendly.
I have to agree.
So I'm curious.
Nobody played in a good fake, really.
I don't know if they'll be able to recapture the magic of season one, but we'll see.
You can only have that relationship that you got in season one. It's tough to have that happen twice.
Yeah.
They picked the correct people. I mean, Joey and Shuby, it's tough to replicate that.
Yeah, so I'm expecting this season to be a lot less of RuPaul's best friend race, if you get what I mean.
I do. Speaking of which, what a final four.
Man, so good.
Which way are you leaning? Because I can see it going basically many different ways.
Yeah, I think it's the first season in a while that not only could I see anybody winning, but also I'm fine with any of them.
Yes.
Like, there's definitely no one I'm rooting for more than the other this year, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I thought since like week two that Simone was going
to
win.
Simone, for a very long time, appeared to be operating at a different level than the rest of them. But Rosé has really found herself.
Cass and I were talking about this after last week's episode about how Rosé is just like so good
mm-hmm.
in this like professional kind of way. But I don't think that's sort of the narrative of a winner of Drag Race.
I'll tell you,
from a production standpoint.
I agree with that because especially this last episode, she was on the podcast. And it was like, I'm a theater person who like sort of hit the end of my inspiration as a theater person. And then for the last 3 years has been doing drag and like Rosé is getting all these things. To me, that I was like, I don't know if that's the story of the winner versus like Simone had the great two cried twice in the last episode.
Yep. Which you know, they always love.
And then Gottmik low key, RuPaul was like very high on Gottmik in that section.
Yeah. If I were a betting man, which I am, but very poorly, I would put money on Simone or Gottmik.
Yes, I would too.
As the winners. But neither of the other two would surprise me.
Yeah.
And I would love it. I would love it to be Candy Muse just to piss off all the assholes who have been assholes to her.
She's been excellent.
Who else would you want on your television every week?
Yeah.
And Candy Muse.
She's been excellent every week. I don't know what the couple of the outfits were crappy, but what are you going to do?
Yeah. But Cass and I were saying last week, Candy Muse is like Miss Vanjie, but kind of coherent.
Yeah, sure.
Like, it's a similar vibe, but I like what she says is like words.
Yeah. Okay. That's a good recap. Mailbag questions. Midasim, if you had to eat one vegetable with every meal and it couldn't be a potato, what would you choose?
Ooh, that's a great question.
You should eat vegetables with every meal, right?
With every, yeah.
Not the same one over and over again.
No, I'm trying to think of like what's, it's gotta be like, it's gotta be a gourd. It's gotta be a squash or a, it might be squash. It's versatile.
Boy, that'd be challenging pretty quick, huh?
I don't know. You can roast it. You can soup it. You can turn it into fries. You can do a lot with a squash.
I think maybe a pickle.
Well, if we're counting cucumbers and pickles in the same family, I would agree with that.
You just, because then you eat the meal you like regularly, and then you just eat a pickle at the end. Versus like making it part of the meal.
Like tomato, maybe?
No, isn't tomato a fruit?
Oh, you're right. It is. You're correct.
Lettuce? You don't want it to be lettuce.
No, pickle. Lettuce is good for one. Lettuce is good for one thing. One thing only.
Pickled cucumber. So cucumber then. Now, so you could pickle it.
Now, is this saying that you can only have that vegetable? Like, if you were to say lettuce, can you have like a salad that has lettuce and other vegetables
in it?
Yeah,
no.
You just have to have lettuce.
From what I'm getting at, it's you have to incorporate it into every meal. It's like a chopped thing.
Then it might be lettuce, because lettuce you can put on sandwiches or burgers or what have you, and then it's a foundation of salad.
Okay. Wouldn't be lettuce for me, but I don't enjoy eating lettuce basically ever.
That's fair.
Paul Adam, if you had to work in any fictional sitcom workplace, which one would you choose and what would be your job?
Ooh.
Oh, boy.
I like this question because every time I watch a workplace show, I'm like, that job seems kind of fun.
Sure.
Like, we just watched the final season of Superstore this week, which had a great ending. But a lot of the time, I'm like, working at a Superstore wouldn't be that bad. And it's like, no, it would be terrible. The message of the show is that it sucks.
Yeah. So much of it. We'll be watching it. I'll turn to Melissa and be like, I worked at Walmart. It's not like that. The number one thing about that show that makes me laugh is like caring if one of your coworkers gets fired when you work at Walmart. It's just like... No chance. People just disappear. Are you kidding? Like,
the answer is Cheers, though.
Sure, Jake. That's a superb answer. That's a superb. You'd be a great Cheers bartender.
Yeah, all you gotta do is talk to folks about their problems.
Wow.
And then, be like, I got a date, and also another date.
Yeah.
That's the whole show.
I work at KACL 780.
Oh, that'd be good. Yeah.
Paul Adam. Oh no, sorry, Drew. What is one item of sports paraphernalia you don't have but you really want?
Sport. Sorry, say it again.
One item of sports paraphernalia you don't have but want.
I don't have any like real sports art.
Mm.
I have two. Cassie's currently looking at me like I'm crazy. I have two, and they're tucked away in our den. I like them a lot. One is the bat flip print that. Many of us have.
Sure.
And I have an old photo of the Maple Leafs frame. But, like, there's a lot of good sports art, like sports foot, like really good sports photography kind of things. I don't have any of that. I have to admit, I'm not a big paraphernalia guy.
Yeah, it's tough. I'm trying to think of, like, it had to be nice enough to be on display in our home.
Right. That's exactly it. Like, I don't want just, like, a poster.
So I don't know what that would be.
I do, actually, I do really want a Ryu jersey,
mm-hmm.
And I tweeted about this. Ridiculous how impossible it is to buy Blue Jays merchandise in Canada.
That's strange.
The Jays shop is terrible, and it's run through Fanatics. To actually get in touch with the real Jays shop, you have to, like, email them directly.
There's a whole store, you'd think.
Yeah, and they don't have a website. I emailed them this week about a jersey, and they got back to me very quickly. Great customer service, but, like... admitted to me in the email, like, we don't have a website.
Mm,
this is the only way during COVID you can purchase things from the official Blue Jays shop, which is crazy to me.
That is quite literally unbelievable.
Yeah.
Shanna Planner, would you rather be on The Bachelor or one of the final contestants on The Bachelorette?
Oh, on The Bachelor, for sure.
Oh, really?
Why would I want to be a contestant?
Because you make...
I will preface, I've never watched either show, so I could be totally wrong.
Because Bachelorette, I would rather be a contestant on The Bachelorette for sure.
Why?
Because you're just sort of like hanging out with bros. there's so much downtime where all they do is just get drunk in the house and eat. Like, it's all they do.
Oh, fair.
As long as you could stay close enough to winning the girl to be like final six, you got like 4 weeks where all you do is travel around.
I guess that's true. If you were the Bachelor or the Bachelorette, you have to do stuff.
Constant. Whereas Bachelorette, you're just sort of like, you're hanging out, you're in the house, you're traveling around, and then like every week you have to spend a day being like, something about like, I have struggled to let people in, or I need to break my walls down, or, you know, I let you in and I think I'm falling in love with you. That's all you need to do. You do that every once a week. Good to go.
Fair enough. No, I agree with that now. You've swayed me.
Been a hot minute since we watched The Bachelor, though. Been a while. Shannon Planner, since becoming wife guys, how many times have you said my wife in the Borat voice? Not many.
So here's the thing.
Borat came we actually out again, had, right?
That's it. So Cash and I actually had this conversation because for literally like 3 years, our joke that drove, well, my joke that she didn't enjoy was that in my vows, I was going to do the my wife and she would leave me. And then, so we joked that forever, like even before we were engaged, it was just like a joke we had. And then we actually got married and like, a month before we got married for real, Borat came out again. And the whole thing that made my wife funny was that like Borat was forever ago and like isn't funny anymore. But now it's like back and in the news. So now saying my wife is no longer funny.
Yeah.
So I haven't done it once because it's not a funny joke to me anymore.
Tough timing. You know what?
Very tough timing.
The new Borat is Austin Powers.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, that's good. Yeah. Oh, I like that.
Thank you.
Getting married is my bag, baby.
Yeah, that sort of thing is my bag, baby. that's such a stupid movie.
I need to rewatch. Yes. I've been wanting to rewatch the first one for so long.
I agree with you. Everything you said there, you nailed it. Avi Libman, are you back scratch or back massage people? There's just no chance you're a back massage guy.
No, absolutely back scratch. Don't. The only person I would be comfortable being massaged by is my wife. Mm-hmm. And also even then, like,
yeah,
just scratch. I love a back scratch.
This is obviously a significant other, not professional. I'll take either. I love that.
I've never had a professional massage. Right. So
nor have you stretched.
I have stretched. I just don't stretch.
Gotcha. Bex, if you put Shohei Ohtani in backyard baseball, would he be better than Pablo Sanchez? Shohei Ohtani is somehow still underrated despite the only thing you ever hear about him being that he's like the greatest thing that's ever happened.
That home run he hit last week, just the sound of it off the bat. I think I rewatched that clip 3 or 4 times just to listen to it.
He also throws 100 and also Twitter.
Yeah.
And runs really fast.
The thing about Shohei Ohtani is the same thing about Mike Trout, and that is that they play for the Angels. So who cares?
And they're both weird. Like, they're both weirdly like so great that it's almost impossible to appreciate.
Right, and they're like neither of them are particularly like big personality guys. So like if they did what they did translated to any other sport, they'd be the most famous people on the planet.
Yeah, it's sort of hard to believe Ohtani isn't the most famous baseball player in the world, but he's not.
It's hard to believe that Mike Trout wasn't the most famous baseball player in the world. Also,
it's true.
Like I kind of know what he looks like.
Yeah. Undercover cop.
Right.
Yeah. And the last question, Connor W., what's the biggest movie franchise or TV series you've never seen and know next to nothing about? I'll tell you this. I don't know really anything about the Bourne movies. I don't know. I've never seen any of them. I've flipped them while they were on a weekend, like midway through, and watched for like 10 minutes, but I didn't know what was going on or what he was doing. So no context.
That's a good one. Mine is Twin Peaks.
Mm.
Never. I think I've watched the pilot or half the pilot. I've never watched the show, and it seems like something I would like.
It's weird.
But I don't care.
Yeah. I plowed through that at one point a couple years ago. And enjoyed it. And then
I'm sure I would like it. But it's just one of those shows that I just have no motivation to watch.
Yeah. Fair enough. That is it. We will wrap things up in just 1 second with a little sad, not sad after this. Hey there, just a quick reminder, the April Brewery of the Month for Sportsfeld is Left Field Brewery out of Toronto, one of our absolute favorites. They have so many excellent options and so many delicious beers. We have been absolutely blessed to be able to drink these beers throughout the month. That's Left Field Brewery in Toronto, leftfieldbrewery.ca. Plenty of cool features and things that you can enjoy, including free home delivery on orders over $45 that is lowered from their previous fee as well. You can use promo code Sportsfeld on your online checkout order so you know that we are the ones that sent you, and then thank us later when you're drinking that delicious, wonderful, excellent, tasty, awesome Left Field Brewery beer. So many cool options to pick from: the new Glorioso, the ice cold beer, the new 300 hard seltzers, Greenwood. Oh, there's so many incredible beers. You cannot pick just one to give you in the promo. That's leftfieldbrewery.ca. Free home delivery on orders over $45. Let them know we sent you. Use promo code Sportsfeld at checkout. And Jake, we close it out by asking the questions of ourselves and of each other and of our audience in a way. not specifically because they don't get to talk on the show. But whether we are sad or not sad for another week, Jake, I will say that I personally, I guess, yeah, not sad. It's just sort of a minor plus on the week. Just sort of a uneventful sort of getting by on this end. WrestleMania weekend was fun. The wife did another incredible round of trivia. Feel very blessed to be in the situations that we are in. And
hearing more and more people say wrestling brain.
People are saying wrestling brain all over the place. We also went away. We went to Port Dover on the weekend. Hmm. Just to drive to look at some water.
Yeah, I get that desire.
And eat a hamburger by the water. And it was nice. We brought the dog and he ran around. And it was like a little quiet, low-key summer day. And then we found a brewery on the way home and drove it and stopped there and enjoyed all the beers. So a big plus on the weekend that sort of was nice little transition between jobs here. So I'm going to go not sad.
I'm also going to go not sad. My very lovely and patient wife, who puts up with me every day, got vaccinated today.
Hey, wow.
With the COVID-19 vaccine. She is a Pfizer girl. She has...
Pfizer's for hot people.
She just yelled, Pfizer's for hot people. She has a autoimmune disease and is immunosuppressed. And I will say, as the person who, because of that, does the going outing during COVID, which is fine, it is a nice feeling to, not that like it's one, it's only half the vaccine. Who knows what the whole, you all know the story.
Sure.
It's nice to know that there is some protection, for her now after literally a year of like, hey, don't go outside because it's crazy dangerous for you to go outside.
Yeah, the air could be poisoned. Well, that's cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's cool. Good for her.
It happened literally an hour ago.
Very quickly. That's great. And she feels good. She's
sitting right now. She feels fine and also is great example of, I don't think anybody listening to this would be an anti-vaxxer.
Right.
But if you are, stop listening and fuck you. I know it's so much harder than it should be in this fucking province to figure out how to get the vaccine. But if you can, go get it. And a discussion I've been having with Cassie and with some other friends who live in some of the hotspot postal codes who sort of aren't unhealthy people is go get it. Even if you feel like maybe you are Q jumping a bit. And like, I understand the feeling of that, but like, everything's such a fucking mess in Ontario that I feel the more people who get it, the better. And as long as you're not actively like taking the spot from a person, like, and not being like, haha, I'm getting this and you're not. And like, just go get it. We need people getting the vaccine.
That's funny. That's been a topic of conversation in this household as Melissa interviews experts of that. Like, yeah, just get it. Just get it. If someone's letting you get it, you should get it. I understand that you want to make sure everybody has a fair shake, but also like you're one less person that makes somebody else like just get it. Just get it.
Exactly. I was having this conversation with one of our friends the other day about how like I understand the immoral quote unquote feeling of like, I'm a healthy person. Like I don't need to get it before someone else. But like, there's also a moral argument to be made that getting it is the right thing to do.
Absolutely. Get him into arms. Let's go.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Well, that's good news. So we'll do it for another week. That is another episode of Sports. Well, we're enjoying, as we said, the great Greenwood IPA from Left Field Brewery, leftfieldbrewery.ca. Check them out. Free delivery in the GTA over orders over $45 and all over Ontario with all kinds of different dates and times. Check it out on the website for more details on that. Use promo code SportsFeld so they know that you came from us. And if you want more SportsFeld, you want, I don't know, weekly look backs to some of the biggest moments of our fandom, or you want extra mailbags, or you want Discord access, or you want to hear Blue Monday every Monday. This week I interviewed David Singh from Sportsnet about George Springer, his big feature, and being a feature writer and being a teacher to kids in his class at Ryerson care about baseball. Jake, no, they do not. He said he's had one student in 2 years that cared about baseball at all, which I found quite interesting. But yeah, Blue Monday, every Monday, I'm talking about the Blue Jays baseball, recapping all the games, doing interviews, and recapping every single transaction that happens all year long and more. That is available at patreon.com/sportsfeld. In the meantime, we will talk to you next week. We thank you so much for listening to Sportsfeld.